Welcome to Social Workers Break Room. This is Imelda.
And I'm Jennifer.
And today we bring you
ways to help you and your clients have a successful end of the year.
All I want for Christmas is
someone to do my case notes.
Silent night.
But not for me. I'm on call.
Stay with us. And that's our reminder that we should not be singing. At least for me.
And now we do other stuff.
And now... remember...
Here's the best part. I don't even know what's funny.
How do I start? Like, oh, welcome everyone.
That sounds great.
Right? That's how typically...
Bienvenido, todos los personas.
That's a typical way to start a conversation. Yeah, I agree.
So Imelda walks into the room. It's just me. Welcome, everyone. She's brought all of her personalities with her.
All five of them are here with me, joining me. Okay. Remember that we're taking a break for the Christmas holidays and on the 24th, but we will see you in New Year's Eve to unpack our thoughts and wishes for the next year. But before we say goodbye to 2020, we must have to survive the holidays first. So here are some ways to take care of yourself and your clients in the season of giving and receiving.
There's going to be a lot going on this time of year. So I was hoping, you know, kind of especially from a management perspective, to help you guys unpack a little bit about what you can do for yourselves this time of year. So talking to supervisors and managers early and often about time off. For those of you who are students or in internships, what's the plan? So who's taking on your clients or responsibilities if you're taking the whole break? Can or would it be in your best interest to work the whole break? So for those of you who might have capstone or portfolio in the spring, especially MSWs, you may have additional hours banked during the break if you work it so that you can have more of that bandwidth in the spring. So can you do that? And is that best decision for you, your internship, and your family? But before you decide to do that, does your school have a cap on the number of hours you can bank on a break? So for example, the school that Imelda and I work for is 40. So make sure you know that before you're starting. You know, don't put in 100 hours and then decide that you
can
only count 40.
That's a conversation that I have often with some students because they say like, I'm going to be taking a break from work too. So I can work full days and do like 100 hours. I'm like, no, that's a great idea. But only 40 of those are going to count towards your next semester. So
yeah, being smart and having those conversations. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are working, what do the holidays look like? You know, a lot of times people assume, I remember I worked at a hospital and, you know, it's a hospital. It's open 24/7. So all of my staff, that it was a regular scheduled day, the hospital still had to run. We didn't have special holiday calendars, but all the staff were shocked. You know, when I was like, it's your regularly scheduled shift. Yeah. I need you to come in unless you requested it off. So knowing what it looks like, is it a full day? Is it a part day? Are people on call? Is it a rotation? And then what's required of you and what's acceptable to you? So are you required, you know, if you normally work Fridays 8 to 5 and Christmas is on Friday, is that acceptable of you to you? Is it required of you? Also keeping in mind, is there a rotation that you want to be mindful of this year? So for example, for some of you working Christmas this year when you can't travel, versus next year when hopefully you may be able to travel. It might be a good idea or an investment for you to work this year during Christmas. And speaking of PTO and taking times off, do you have PTO that you need to spend or cash out before the end of the year? A lot of companies have a maximum rollover for calendar years. So what is yours? And knowing that. Same kind of things with looking at those calendar year benefits, health benefits. Do you have dental and vision? Have you gotten your annual teeth cleaning, your vision exam? I know for a lot of us, it's the last thing we think of, especially in a global pandemic. But if your area still has those offices open, for a lot of you, this may be the last time this year you can use those benefits. And often they don't roll over. Same thing with your standard health insurance. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten your wellness exam, blood work for women and trans men? Have you gotten your pap smear, your mammogram? They're not fun, but they're a part of staying healthy, and they're typically calendar year annual benefits that are use them or lose them. So it's not like in, not that you would want to get two pap smears in 2021, but.
And for some people, at least for my insurance, I think like around maybe like October, November, it's when I meet my deductible from some other appointments during the year. So now that I've met my deductible, my insurance covers 100% of all the other services. So like this is a good time to, you know, get other appointments, you know, in before the end of the year, because I think the deductible resets in January. So maybe, you know, if you had some appointments during the year, or either, you know, you went to the emergency room for a trip or something, you know, or the urgent care, you probably have met your deductible by now, and some of your other appointments now, there will be covered. So that's a good time to look at where you're at with your deductible and make those appointments.
And because you might not be the only one who's met their deductible or has the bright idea to squeeze it in before the end of the year, you want to make those a priority to get them scheduled. So we actually, Melda and I were taking a look today. Most of you listen to us during the day. Mm-hmm. So this might be during business hours where you could pause this podcast and make an appointment and get ahead of all the other geniuses who also want to make an appointment.
Yep.
And then kind of lastly, for those of you who are under clinical supervision, what's your clinical supervisor's plan for the holiday? Some states, looking at you, California, and several hours, only count clinical hours gained in a given calendar week if you received at least 1 hour supervision that same week. So is your clinical supervisor taking time off? Are you taking time off? Do you need to move the day or time? Do you need to move with someone else at the agency? I would really hate, you know, to hear that any of you threw away a week's worth of work, or for some cases and in some states, a month worth of hours because there wasn't enough planning in advance. So knowing what that is and making that plan. So, and while it's really important for us to plan for ourselves and those kind of really practical things that we need to do to be good stewards and of social work and in our jobs, it's also really important that we take good care of our clients this time of year.
Exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, the end of the year might be a little bit hard for some people. You know, working in the field, we have all noticed how, for some reason, or for a lot of reasons, actually, clients might reach out to you more than usual. So, you know, the end of the year and the holidays can be very triggering for some people. Always keep in mind that not everyone is in a good place physically, mentally, emotionally to enjoy the holidays and, you know, and be with their families for many reasons. You know, some of them are away from their loved ones, especially now that people cannot travel back to their hometowns. They might have financial issues, you know, because especially this year with all the different changes in employment due to the pandemic, families might be separated. There may be health issues. People are at risk of, you know, contracting COVID and that you cannot go visit them. You know, the reasons might be different for everyone. So it's important to remember that everyone experiences the holidays season in a different way. And that's not only always something positive for everyone. So, you know, especially after a year like 2020. So your clients might be reaching out to you more than usual for their needs, or their needs might have increased during this last few weeks or, you know, last few months before the end of the year. And this is very normal. I think working in the field, we have all seen this multiple times. You know, we all know, like, the end of the year, people are like more likely to have a crisis or more needs. So this is expected. And I feel like most social workers are prepared to have like some of these conversations with their clients. But it's also important for social workers and for us to be having this conversation with our clients about not only about what they need, but also the boundaries that you are setting yourself as a professional. So it's always important to let your clients know if you're taking time off or you will not be available during certain days and times, and always be ready to give them phone numbers or resources that they can use when you're not available.
Yeah. And especially, you know, for those of you who might need to be doing like a PTO spend down, also understanding, you know, what your, again, your supervisor schedule is. Because if it's always like, oh, if I'm not available, you can call my supervisor. Mm-hmm. Well, your supervisor also took Christmas Eve off. So who are they calling now? And you don't want that phone call getting, you know, to the head honcho of your program. Yep. You want the client to have that really good, solid plan and know exactly where their phone tree is going to go and make sure it gets there successfully.
Exactly. And even if your agency has that on-call crisis person, usually, you know, they always leave someone on-call. There's someone that rotates their on-call phone. And let your clients know this is a limited resource. So even when you call the crisis line or the on-call, you know, after hours line, this person might not have access to all the client's file information. And so they might be limited to what they can provide. So always have a conversation with your clients. And this might be a really good time to go over their natural support system. You know, we can always give them a lot of resources and phone numbers and things they can try, but there's nothing like a natural support for them to go to, like family or friends on their own community. You know, if they are connected to a church, always encourage for them to get connected to those natural supports, because that those resources will be there for them even when agencies and professionals are not.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of the things that we talk about, and I think we're pretty good about talking about it when we do things like crisis safety planning, of having that person to go to either for distraction or that person to go to that you can have that transparent conversation if you're not having such a good time mentally. Mm-hmm. But helping the client have that conversation, I think one of the most important things I've done in sessions is with crisis safety planning or someone when we're trying to leverage that natural support, but the client is unsure on how to that conversation, let's call them right now. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, my name is Jennifer. I'm a social worker calling from the emergency department, and I'm here with John Smith today. And he's here because he was having a really tough time mentally and came in so he could get some help from us. And, you know, these are the things that we're doing X, Y, Z. But he also mentioned that you're a great support to him. So he was wondering if the next time he was feeling like this, if he could give you a call. And it might be different than the other times John calls you, because he's going to give you the passcode banana to tell you that he's not in such a good place.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, exactly. So if your client knows who to reach out in a moment of crisis without relying 100% on professional resources, then you are not only encouraging self-determination and independence in your client, but you're also like taking off that burden from your shoulders and from you, you know, that responsibility that sometimes can be really triggering. I mean, we have all been in that position where, you know, we go off of a holiday break or even weekends, and we're always wondering, like, I wonder how my client is doing. I wonder if something happens, if they know who to contact. So that takes that pressure off of you, of them seeing you as their only support, or their only go-to person, you know, if they have that connection. I love that idea of calling their family member or their friend. If they don't know how to have a conversation, you can, you know, guide them through that. And I think it will make a very positive connection for them. Mm-hmm. So we also share recently on our Instagram page, we share a meme where it says, when you're in the session with a client and like 3 minutes left in the session, and then they suddenly say, but that's not even the worst part. And you're like, oh shoot, like we have 2 minutes left. Like how am I going to transition out of this conversation and then into the next session? So this is actually a very, very common thing that has happened to probably all of us at some point. Yeah. So we have asked all of you on Instagram to post your go-to phrases or ways that you redirect our conversation with our clients. And we received a really good responses. Yeah. Some of our favorite ones is from Roxy Holiday. That's her handle on Instagram. I don't think that's her real name, but that's her handle on Instagram. And she said that she uses, quote, that sounds important. I want to make sure that we talk about that when we have enough time to give you the attention it deserves. Let's start with this the next time. I love that.
I absolutely do too. You know, I talked about it in the first episode where I talk about collaborative documentation, that I am pretty much a stickler about agenda setting. So that's one of my favorites, is that sounds like something great and that we want to give that attention. So let's make sure I'll write it down right now, so that can be on the top of our agenda for next time. Or in a group setting, you know, like that sounds like a great thing to talk about with your individual therapist, so that they don't trigger the whole group. You know, those same kind of things that tell them, I see you, I hear you, I acknowledge this, and I want to hold space for it. Mm-hmm. And the because time to hold space is not when your hand is on the doorknob. True. And there's someone in my waiting room.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is particularly common for case managers and people who do home visits. Mm-hmm. I think the dynamics are very different when you are in their space and when the client might feel like they are the ones in control of the time and the length of the visit because you are in their personal space in their home versus when it is in an office setting when the client is the one that comes to you and it is your space as a professional. So it's always good to, you know, when you go into the meetings to already have like the exit plan, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to the same way that you're creating your talking points and your action plan to go with them during the session or wherever, you know, the session is going to be about. It's equally as important to know when to stop and at what point of the conversation, you know, maybe like 10 minutes before the session ends or 5 minutes, you start wrapping up those conversations, wrapping up those topics. So they know, they get the cue that it's about time to go and that you will continue in the next visit.
Exactly. I really can't put enough emphasis on when you start with it in the beginning, you set yourself up for success in the end. If you say, I have a hard stop at 1:30, this is, you know, really important. But, you know, like I said, at the beginning of the session, unfortunately today I have a hard stop. So I'm going to have to wrap up now. When can we meet again? Mm-hmm. You know, or whatever it is, maybe it's a ritual. You know, in a book, one of the author talks about a therapist who pats his legs twice and stands up to signal like, okay, the session is over, or like, that's our time now. Or like someone makes a brief gesture to the clock, they adjust their watch, they hand a client the copy of their notes or their treatment plan. So if you have a ritual too, that kind of over time non-verbally tells the patient, okay, it's wrap up time. Mm-hmm. But especially in the beginning, those boundaries are super important. And again, especially for those of you who do home visits or case management, sometimes, again, that can be harder because the boundaries and the setting look a little bit different.
Exactly. Yeah. So we wanted to share with you some of the things that we have tried. And it is important to keep in mind as we start navigating this next few weeks of the holiday season. And you know, as always, we hope that you found something helpful in this episode. And for whatever you're celebrating this month, whether it's a holiday or, you know, time with your family, or even just being in the season of gratitude in your life, we wish you all the best. And we'll see you on the 31st to wrap up 2020. This is where you insert the
jingle bells. Happy holidays.
Yay. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas if you celebrate. I personally celebrate Christmas.
And send good thoughts to Grandma.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
And now I have to do an incident report.
And probably call Adult Protective Services.
I'm going to have to get him into a group for aggressors. Should have never picked up the holiday.
Does Grandma have a power of attorney?
Probably not. Do they even have anger management groups in the North Pole?
I don't think so.